Turn with me, if you would, to the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Let us pray as we approach God's Word this morning. Lord God, we are so thankful in this season for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. We ask that we receive this gift, not lightly, but that it makes all the world of difference in our hearts and in this world, to know that you have come down from heaven to be among us. For the words of this season are true. God with us, Emmanuel, the very name Jesus himself, means the Lord saves. So save us in this season and be with us every day, Emmanuel. Amen. In this time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard that the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child and Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So I don't know if you have watched Disney Plus yet. Disney has come out with a new app, and there's only one show on the app right now. And that show is The Mandalorian, which is a Star Wars show. So forgive me, those of you who are from our church know that I love Star Wars, right? And my favorite character on the new show, how many of you know who my favorite character on the new show is? Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is my favorite character. You know, the old creature that was a puppet that we saw in the first Star Wars movie who talked backwards? Well, this is another one of those, but really small and super cute. Baby Yoda is awesome. The Mandalorian has one job now on the show, and that's to protect Baby Yoda. He takes Baby Yoda wherever he goes, and his job is to protect Baby Yoda. And if I was on the show, I would do the same thing. I would take Baby Yoda around and protect Baby Yoda from everything. It's not a great analogy, but Jesus is like Baby Yoda. He's the most important child ever born. And yet he's got all he has at this point in his life is his cuteness. He doesn't have strength, power, money. He's just got his cuteness as a baby. And as far as Herod and Caesar are concerned, he has no claim to the throne in Jerusalem. Last week we talked about how there's no real birth story in Matthew. If you want swaddling clothes and mangers, you got to look to the Gospel of Luke. But that's kind of like saying that the story of a baby ends at the hospital. Nonsense. The manger was just the beginning. And so now the wise men have come, having traveled from the east, probably from Babylon, but somewhere east of Jerusalem. And they bring politics into the story almost immediately. If we have a new ruler in Jesus, then figures of importance want to see him. The world hung in the balance when Jesus came. World peace was coming in the voice of a baby in a crib. These first visitors are not rulers. They're not kings, even though sometimes our songs say that about them at Christmas. But they're not really kings. They're the Magi. They might have been wise, but they were something even more. You see, back in their own day, back in their own time, the Magi, the wise men, were the astronomers of their day. Technically, they're astrologers. They followed the stars and looked for meaning in the position of the earth among the stars. And they knew the prophecies that were written, particularly the one about Jesus. And we look on astrology skeptically today. We don't believe in astrology. But what we do know from the Bible and from life is that God gave us the stars and the planets and the sun and the moon to tell us time and to tell us the seasons when we worship. Without them, we wouldn't know anything about time. We wouldn't know it's Christmas. We wouldn't know about Easter. We only have our position among the stars, the planets, and the sun. And that's what the star was telling the wise men in this story. The star was telling the wise men that it was time for the Messiah. The waiting was over. The king is born. Now, we don't know what the star in the east was, but somehow it led them to this event. It gave them the meaning of this occasion. The Messiah had a particular star, and the Magi knew it. They weren't concerned with Jesus' astrology. They were concerned that he was born. And they were concerned about how it lined up with his biblical prophecy, and so was Matthew. Because the star revealed that prophecy was fulfilled. Now, everybody was not excited by this birth, and it was not a hopeful time in Jerusalem. The Romans were in power, and the priests in power in Jerusalem cared for their position, not for God. And the Herods were illegitimate and used violence over the people. Everywhere the people turned, they were oppressed and poor, and there was no vision for the future. They had nobody on their side, and they kept calling out to God, and they seemed to hear nothing in return. Where was their God? But then the star appeared, and hope appeared. God changed the game by coming as close as possible. And other times, God would change things on the earth. But now, God came in the form of a person, of a human being. Jesus Christ was God incarnate. In this baby, God came to earth to dwell in his Son and to dwell among us, to know everything about our lives. What it was like to suffer, what it was like to be sad, what it was like to be happy. God with us, Emmanuel. For the Magi in Matthew's story, what they did is also important. They didn't come to negotiate a trade deal with Jesus or to pledge armies. They could have brought a message from their own nation. But instead, they do two things. The first thing that they do is they worship Jesus. The word here in the New Revised Standard Version is paid homage. But paid homage has a literal meaning. Paid homage is very tame for what they did. Sounds like they didn't want to get their robes messed up or anything. But instead, this word paid homage means to bow down on your face like a dog on the ground. For those of you who have pets, when your pet comes in front of you and puts their front paws out in front of you and stretches their head down, this is the same word. for that. They come to bow down to Jesus on the ground, to put their face on the ground to Jesus, and to worship. Jesus deserves our worship. In the Gospel of Matthew, this word comes up several times. Once, when the disciples are in the boat after Jesus has been walking on the water, and it says they bowed down and worshiped him. The other time is the Great Commission. Jesus has risen, goes to meet them on the mountain, and gives them the Great Commission, and it says in the Scripture that they bowed down the same way. What does Jesus deserve from us today? To bow down in the same way that the earliest disciples, that the magi, the wise men, bowed down on their face. What other thing can we do when we come before the King but to bow down and worship? It's why we're here in this Advent season and Christmas, to bow down before the King and give him what he really deserves, which is our very selves. Worship is about giving to God. Worship is not about us being the audience. Worship is about God as the audience and God as the one who is worshiped. And Jesus Christ is worshiped in this story. The second thing that the wise men do is to bring their gifts. Now, these are lavish gifts, especially for a baby. They don't bring pacifiers or diapers or swings. They bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold is obviously valuable because it can be spent to buy things for this king. But myrrh and frankincense are both valuable as well. They're lavish gifts. Frankincense could be used for worship, can be used for medicinal purposes. It smells good. Myrrh the same way. Myrrh was even used to anoint the dead, prefiguring Christ's death for all of us. Myrrh and frankincense are valuable because of how they are made, how they are gotten. There are still little old men in the deserts, in the Holy Land, who go around little trees and chop off little parts of their bark to make myrrh and frankincense. The wise men gave gifts. Today, we give gifts to Jesus Christ. It is what this season is about and what stewardship is about. Stewardship is about coming to God and worshiping and giving gifts. This year, Christmas is the time when we're pledging ourselves to Jesus anew. We should not think of ourselves as pledging ourselves to the church or to one another, although we do that. But these gifts that we give in this season are pledges to give to Jesus Christ. If meeting Jesus for the first time, if encountering him as a baby, what would we give? How much would we give to Jesus Christ? The first thing that Jesus wants, as we reiterated with the children this morning, is the gift of your presence. Jesus Christ wants your presence in this place and in the world so that others know that you belong to him. Jesus Christ is the reason for this season and the presence of Christ's people in the world to know that he is born. How better will they know than with our actions? This is a time to be generous with our friends and neighbors, and especially to those who are in need. If the people who were oppressed were helped in this season would be truly meaningful. The other ways that we give in this season is to give of our gold. It does take money to run Christ's church. We like a warm church like the one we came into today. We like a fixed cupola like we have today. We like handbells. But we do those things because of the worship that we can give to God. And those are some of the basic things. And just so you know, every week the money that you put into the plate or send in the mail, those things go for ministry in this church from day to day. We may not be the wealthiest church in town, but God has blessed us with a lot of gifts that we can use to do a lot of ministry in this place together. The gold that we give to Jesus Christ, the money that we give to Jesus Christ, can be used so that others will know His presence here among us. This is not a hopeless season for the world. This is not a hopeless season for humanity. This is the time, like when Christ came, to proclaim the hope, joy, love, and peace of this season. That evil does not win. That injustice does not win. But that mercy and forgiveness and love win in this season. So in this season, give the gifts of yourself, your time, your talent, your presence, your finances, who you are, everything that makes up your life. Give your heart, your body, your mind, your soul to Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that He wants in this season. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful to be here in this season to give gifts to Jesus Christ. Just as the wise men came from far away to worship the King, we worship You, our King, today, to come and stand in Your presence, to find love and hope and peace and joy in Your name, and to share it with all the world. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.